Good morning. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Five people died as a result of the mob attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. One was a Capitol Police officer who was beaten by rioters. Four were supporters of President Trump who had come to the nation's capital to see their president and be part of a movement. One was shot by police. One was crushed by a swarm of people. One died of a heart attack, the other of a stroke while at a rally. 140 police officers were injured. Vice President Mike Pence was whisked away to safety moments before the mob arrived. Members of Congress hid in their office and in tunnels under the building, donning gas masks. According to Reuters, taxpayers will be on the hook for the damages. It was for these events that President Donald Trump was impeached by the U.S. House of Representatives. Now he stands trial in the Senate, where Democrats face an uphill battle to convince their Republican colleagues to join them in convicting the former president. Today is day four of what looks like it will be the quickest impeachment trial in history. What do you think happens next? You can join us at 800-642-1234. Or email at ideas@wpr.org. To learn what's in store for today's trial, we turn to Anita Kumar. Anita Kumar is a White House correspondent and associate editor at Politica. Good morning, Anita.
Thanks for having me.
Glad you could join us this morning. Well, the Democratic House impeachment managers, they made their final arguments to lawmakers yesterday. What were some of the takeaways that stood out to you?
Well, again, thanks for having me. Yes, you're right. It is going very fast here. We expect it to be done pretty soon. You know, the Democrats laid out an argument that it basically showed what was happening in the Capitol that day, and they showed what President Trump was doing and saying that day. And so sort of what came out of that is, you know, we've all seen that video footage. But because they sort of put it together, you knew what President Trump was doing at the time. So even when he knew what was happening at the Capitol, he continued to tweet. Of particular importance, I think, is a tweet that he sent out about his vice president. So if you'll recall that day, he was criticizing Vice President Pence for not trying to stop the proceedings, not trying to overturn the election that Donald Trump and Mike Pence lost. And so he was still tweeting about that and talking about that and talking about that at the White House when rioters had already stormed the Capitol. And I think that was one of the key things that came out of what we saw in the last few days, is that President Trump continued to do this. That a lot of the rioters and protesters said that they took their cue from what President Trump was doing. They talked about his tweets. They said them out loud outside. And so, you know, they're trying to paint the picture that what President Trump did that day and the previous 2 months when he, you know, tried to overturn the election was the cue for these protesters to storm the Capitol.
And now what we heard opening arguments a few days ago from both sides, and we'll hear from Trump's defense team today. What defense do you think he will put up?
Well, they've really been arguing two things. One, and we heard this from them the very first day, which is that this proceeding is not constitutional. They say that the president needs to still be in office for this proceeding to be constitutional. Now, there was a vote that very first day, and a majority of senators said that the proceeding could go on, that the proceeding was constitutional. So that is already telling us that the Senate doesn't agree with President Trump's team on that. So they are likely to look towards the second argument, which is that the president, the former president now, had the free speech right to say what he said that day. So it was the First Amendment right to have to speak to this crowd, to the protesters, and he could say what he wanted to say. Now, what you'll hear the Democrats say is, well, it wasn't just about January 6th. He had been, sort of pushing protesters to do this for the 2 months before when he wouldn't agree to the election, to the results of the election. And, you know, that he was signaling to them to do something what ended up happening, which is trespass and vandalize and obviously cause harm to people. So they're saying, well, yes, people do have a free speech right to talk. but not to the point that it causes a crime or violence.
And you mentioned the video evidence that Democrats presented. I noticed that our own congressman here in Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher, came up in the trial. You know, he had posted that video online from his office during the riot, asking the president to call off his supporters. And Democrats used this to say, hey, members of Congress believed Trump was calling the shots that day. Was that persuasive to the Senate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I do think that if you had to take sort of one thing away from this week so far on the trial, it was that gripping footage on Wednesday that we saw. New footage. We had not seen some of that footage, and members of Congress, senators, had not seen some of that footage. So what that really showed was how close a number of senators had gotten to, you know, the mob catching up to them. You know, we saw the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. We saw Senator Mitt Romney from Utah just minutes before the mob, you know, catches up or tries to catch up to them. You know, them turning around and trying to run another way, literally running. So I think that from my colleagues that were present in the chamber and seeing the senators right outside that day, it really struck them. I mean, they put, you know, their hands over their eyes and they nodded their heads, and they were visibly shaken by some of that video. And that's probably the one thing that they're really going to take from this week so far.
Do you think it's changing minds?
I don't. And the reason is that, again, senators have spoken during the breaks. They've been asked questions by reporters, and it's clear from the Republicans that they haven't really changed their minds. And an important thing to note is that they did take that vote on the very first day. And that vote, again, was to say whether they felt like this proceeding should go forward. And only 6 Republicans thought this proceeding, this actual trial, was constitutional. It's very hard for someone to say, well, I don't think this trial is constitutional, but I'm going to vote to convict this man. Why would you convict if you don't think this whole proceeding is constitutional? And so the bar is very high here. I do think that they're all very moved. You can tell that from their visible, you know, how they look and what they say. They're reliving that day. You know, they were all there hiding in the Capitol and worried and scared. But that does not mean that they're saying President Trump was at fault.
And so given that while this is a trial, it's a political trial. It's not the same as a trial in a typical court of law. What do you think the Democrats' goals are here?
Well, I think the Democrats went in knowing that the bar was really high. And just to give people a sense, of course, the number is, of course, the Senate is 50-50 now, so 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. 17 Republicans would have to vote with Democrats to convict because it's a supermajority. It's not just 51 here.
Right,
so that's quite a lot of people. I think they went in knowing that it's going to be very, very unlikely that he would be convicted, but that they wanted to send a message to the country, to future presidents and other politicians, and really to the world, that if you take actions like this, that you're going to be held accountable. And so I think a lot of it was the message that they wanted to send, that this could not happen again. And even though they knew it was unlikely to go further than that, they felt it was important to show that he was accountable in some fashion. And I think they think that's what they're doing. And I will say from President Trump's side, you know, even if he's not convicted, which he's not likely to be, you know, January 6th changed things for him. I don't know that he would have actually run for president again in 2024. He had been sort of cooling to the idea the previous 2 months before January 6th. But his reputation and his legacy, it's more than tarnished. You know, his political future, there may not be one now because of what happened January 6th. So there are repercussions to what happened.
We're speaking with Anita Kumar, a White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. What's in store for today's impeachment trial? We're getting a briefing from Anita Kumar. She is a White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. How do you see this trial? Do you think there will be potential for more violence at the Capitol? We're at 1-800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. Anita, one of the arguments that has been made at the trial is that there is this likelihood of more violence, that there's still anger among certain parts of the population. Do you see the Senate giving that argument much credence?
Well, I do think that everything feels a little bit different since January 6th. If you've been over near the Capitol or the White House, there's just so much more security than there ever has been. And during the trial, the National Guard is still on patrol around the Capitol complex. So, the senators can feel that and see that, as they're going to work every day. I think police have said, or law enforcement have said, that there hasn't been anything particular this week that they thought was coming up, but that there are protests and other events planned for after the trial, later in the year, even March, I heard, which is, getting several months past the election. So I do think they're thinking about that, but I don't think it's the forefront of whether President Trump, incited this riot on January 6th. They are trying to look backwards at that, sort of what were his actions, and did he incite these people? Remember, nothing he said out and out said it. He didn't say, storm the Capitol and harm people and kill people. But what the Democrats are arguing is what he said was enough, that he did push them to go fight, and he had been pushing them for 2 months.
So why, another question that I've wondered, why are we not hearing from witnesses in this trial?
It's a great question. And it's actually one of the most unusual things I think about this. I think that's partly because Republicans and Democrats want this to go fast, and it goes faster without witnesses. So, Democrats are eager to get back to President Biden's agenda. They have a lot to do, including coronavirus relief legislation that hasn't been agreed to yet. And Republicans obviously just want to not talk about President Trump anymore. They want to get on with it. So witnesses would sort of bog that down. It's also different than President Trump's first impeachment trial. This is something that, the senators have already experienced. They experienced firsthand. So they are the witnesses a little bit. They could hear from other people, but they lived it that day where they were hiding in offices and behind chairs and under desks. They are also getting, I think, what they want from these videos. They are seeing, instead of having witnesses, they're seeing these videos that are sort of taking the place of that. But I do think one of the reasons is they want to make this as short as possible.
And what do you make of President Biden's remarks that he's not really watching the trial?
Well, I do think that they're trying to convey, and they are trying to sort of move on from this. I mean, in a certain way, President Biden couldn't, he's obviously president, he's obviously been working, but this has been hanging over him and Washington for weeks now. And I think that once it's over, it'll feel a little bit different here and probably a little bit different for those in the White House. But they do want to convey that they're working and doing other things. There's really nothing they can do about this. It's proceeding. I guess President Biden could have said to the Democrats, look, you shouldn't do this impeachment trial. But remember, again, these people lived this day, and they very much felt like President Trump should be accountable. So he's moving on with it. The one thing I will say, though, is, he's doing events. The White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, is doing briefings all this week while this is going on. And Washington's attention, anyway, is fully on the impeachment trial. So they're not getting the attention that they did the previous week. And you can sort of tell that because, as one example, the TV networks, CNN and MSNBC, they're playing the impeachment trial. They're not playing what is happening at the White House. And it does feel like all the attention is on on the trial, but that will, you know, obviously dissipate next week.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Anita Kumar of Politico and taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones. We have Bob in Chippewa Falls with us. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. I think your guest is right. It's become a political trial. And I think if you go back to Trump's boast back in the campaign of 2016, I can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and my voters will still vote for me. Update that. I can incite a group to mob mentality, send them toward Congress, and the Senate Republicans aren't going to vote me out. They won't vote against me. And that's about as arrogant as it gets. It's really sad view on the Senate.
Thanks.
They really are a bunch of pups.
Thanks, Bob. Anita Kumar, what do you see the Senate taking away from this? How is this changing political dynamics in Washington?
Well, I think it's hard. You know, it's always hard for them, Democrats and Republicans, to work together. You know, and it's gotten harder over the years, partly because of President Trump and also unrelated to President Trump. It just gets more partisan year after year. So I do think, you know, it's going to be tough for them after this to say, OK, well, let's sit down and negotiate a bill. But, you know, they know that they are going to have to do that, that this is going to end in the next few days and they're going to have to move on to, you know, all the other things that they want to do. Tackle the coronavirus and deal with infrastructure and immigration, and they know that they're going to have to sit down and do it. I think what's really difficult right now with the Senate is it's only 50-50. I mean, it couldn't be closer, obviously. You know, Democrats have the majority because the vice president is a Democrat and she can break ties, but they really do have to work together. 50-50 means that they have to work together. Nothing can get through unless they've all sort of really sat down and talked about it, and I think they know that going forward that's how it's going to be.
But is there trust to work together? I mean, you've mentioned that the heightened security, we've seen the metal detectors, we've seen the headlines about some members not wanting to use them. How do they move forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think one of the things that has struck me the most over these last few weeks, or, you know, this year, I guess, is that the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, said a couple weeks ago this really unbelievable line at a press conference that she said, you know, the enemy is within. She meant within the House. So her point there was, you know, people, Republicans or some Republicans, you know, she felt were the enemy, the against them or trying to hurt them. And, you know, I mentioned this is the House. Of course, the Senate's the same way, right? I mean, there is really very little trust among some members, not all, but some members. And that's going to make things very, very difficult. You know, also on the House side, the Speaker of the House has been really critical of the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, who, you know, if you'll recall, at one point did say President Trump was responsible for this and then backed off of that. He said everybody was responsible. He flew down to Florida to see President Trump. So there is a lot of distrust, and it's going to make it very difficult for them to move forward and try to get anything passed. But I do think that they realize that they've got to try to do that.
Well, let's sneak in one last caller this hour. We're going to go to Jim in Freedom. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, I think personally all the lawmakers need to take responsibility for what happened. All summer long, we saw rioting and stuff going on all over the country. And did any of these lawmakers on the other side condemn any of that? No. They actually have a recording of one lawmaker said they should be rioting. And are we going after that lawmaker? We should be. If you're going to go after Trump for what he did, and I think what he did was wrong. He did encourage people. I didn't vote for the guy. But if we're going to go after him for this, we have to go after all the other lawmakers that sat on their hands and did nothing, because they rubber stamped that kind of behavior when they did nothing all summer long.
Thanks, Jim.
Matter of fact, the lawmaker that actually said that is now our vice president, which is really sad.
Thanks, Jim. We're up against the clock here, so we want to hear Anita Kumar's response to other violence in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I've heard that argument several times now, and I can just say that, you know, when asked, law enforcement and officials say that they're investigating every single every single thing and that they will be looking further. But I haven't heard about any other, you know, officials that have been, you know, that are going to be charged or investigated. That's a great way to end, because that's going to be something that the President Trump's people say today. They're going to say, look at all these other people, including Democrats, that made comments. And they didn't incite violence and they weren't prosecuted or charged. So I think that'll be something we see today.
Well, Anita Kumar, we will be following all of the reporting at Politico this afternoon and in the days to come. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Anita Kumar is a White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. Stay tuned. You can hear live NPR coverage of the Senate impeachment trial starting at 11 p.m. over on the NPR News and Music Network. Up next is news. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.